ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः। श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः। वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ वाङ् मे मनसि प्रतिष्ठिता मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविरावीर्मेधि वेदस्य माणिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासीः अनेनाधीतेन अहोरात्रान् सन्दधामि हृदं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्माम् अवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिः शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं। सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवत्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। श्रीकृष्ण गोविन्द हरे मुरारे हे नाथ नारायण वासुदेवा जिह्वे पिबस्वामृतमेतदेव गोविन्द दामोदर माधवेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति हे कृष्ण हे यादव हे सखेति। First of all, today being Ganesh Chaturthi, I invoke Lord Ganesha's blessing in all of us, that he blesses us with a path of spirituality or spiritual path free of obstacles and also blesses us to free our life from all kinds of obstacles. With that, we'll continue. So, in the last session, we were at shloka number or verse number 41. I'll read that verse first because we saw a basic meaning of that verse in the last session. We'll see the detail in today's session. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi ekeh kuru nandana bahushakahyanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. So we saw in the verse 39 or shloka 39, Bhagwan himself initiated a new topic where he spoke about two kind of intellects, the Sankhya, one with the Sankhya knowledge or Abhita Sankhya, and the other one is about Karma Yoga, two kinds of Buddhi, Sankhya Buddhi and Yoga Buddhi we call it, and as we explained. So one is Sankhya is about the topic of the self, which is explained and from 11 onwards, and Karma Yoga Buddhi he's saying that he's going to expound it from here now. And in the 39th verse he said, a person who is equipped with such kind of an intellect of Karma Yoga, because Karma Yoga is the path to lead us to Sankhya Yoga. Ultimate goal is Sankhya Buddhi only. Yeah? Please remember that, because the knowledge of Brahman is the ultimate knowledge. It's Karma Yoga is the path or is the tool to make us reach or prepare our intellect for receiving the Sankhya knowledge, the Sankhya Buddhi, the knowledge about Brahman. So he said, a person who is equipped with such kind of an intellect of Karma Yoga, karma bandham prahasyasi, he is going to free himself from all kind of bondages of karma. Okay, I'm going to touch about that, and in the further shloka also, Bhagwan is also going to touch about that. Please remember, every action binds, which I already said that. How it binds, once an action is performed, and we have already set out that at action to give us the result. Now, the action has already been performed. The result is definitely going to come. Who is going to bear the result? We only have to bear the result. So, even if some action is not able to give us result in this life, we will have to be born again only for bearing the result. Forget, I'm just keeping aside the vasana and the swabhava for a moment right now. But even if I if I say that somebody is free from vasana, somebody is free from all kind of swabhava, or hasn't acquired anything bad at all, vasana and swabhava is free of, habits is free of, then also he'll have to come back into this world for bearing or enjoying the result of whatever action has been done. So technically all action binds. Bhagwan is going to talk about that. I'll come about going forward. Then in the 40th verse, Bhagwan said, Arjun, there are three kind of problems which usually are there in every kind of action. One is that we need to follow a pattern, a process for every action. That's the first thing, which is the requirement of every action. Then that's the first thing. If you do not follow the process or the set out guidelines of that action, you may not be able to achieve the result. So every action has got a defined process, has got a defined way. You have to follow that way to gain the result or to complete that action. That's the first thing he said. The second thing he said that once you set out into the action, if you do not do the action, there is a problem which comes to us. There is a dosha which comes to us, which is called pratyavaya. By not doing, it's called all the sin inherited by omission of action, which I spoke about in the thing. Then the third thing which is required is every action and has got a defined quantum of effort. The quantity of effort is defined. If you do an action but you don't end up doing the according to the required quantity, you may not get the result. Then he says, Arjun, these three things are there in every action you look around in the world. You look at everything, and I've already touched base on that. Then he said, so when what happens with Karma Yoga, Bhagwan says, if somebody sets out to do Karma Yoga, which Bhagwan is expounding from this 40th verse onwards, and he's going to explain it in 5 verses. He's going to talk about that. And he's also going to give a comparison of what happens for the person who does Karma Yoga versus those people who just do karma without Karma Yoga. So remember, it's a buddhi, it's a knowledge you have to gain of doing Karma Yoga, because ultimately Karma Yoga means your goal is God. you know, ultimate goal is God, and every action you do, even your duty, is surrendered unto Him. You are doing it only for the happiness of God. That's the way Karma Yoga defines. Anyway, I'm going to come to that. Bhagwan says, Arjun, in Karma Yoga, if you end up doing karma with a Karma Yoga attitude, these three errors or these three problems I said that exist in every action of Abhikrama, Pratyavaya, and you know, the quantum or quantity of effort, these three things are not there. And he says in the last line, Swalpam appi asya dharmasya, even if you are able to do with your, or you know, or with your clean intent, with whatever capability you have, even if you are able to do little, Swalpam appi asya dharmasya karma yogasya, it will free you from all kinds of fears of action. So this we already taken up. Now we'll get into the 41st verse where we left last time. Now Bhagwan says, Arjun, he is now bringing comparison between two kind of people. And this shloka is a little complex. So you have to listen to it very carefully. He says here, he deciphers in the two lines there. First he says, Vyavasatmika buddhi, Vyavasayatmika buddhi, Eka iha Kuru Nandana, He Kuru Nandana, He Kuru Shrestha, He Kuru Son, and He Son of Kunti, He Son of Kaurav Vansha. Vyavasayatmika buddhi eka iha. Now the first thing he says that there is a buddhi he's talking about, there's a kind of intellect he's talking about. It says Vyavasayatmika. Now what does Vyavasayatmika means? You know, I'm just giving you one thing. These shlokas, I will not give you a literal meaning first because two lines are meaning completely different things. So you just understand how I'm picking up the para. He says, Arjun, Vyavasayatmika buddhi, those people who have got Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Now remember, Vyavasayatmika buddhi here means those people who have got this buddhi, this intellect of Karma Yoga, they have got focus as God. Vyavasayatmika means Nishchayatmika. They have got something called a single pointed determination. And he says, their buddhi is Eka. Iha means Karma Yoga. Iha Karma Yoga. In this Karma Yoga, Arjun, the kind of intellect that person has is got, he's got a firm resolve. He's got a single pointed determination towards his goal. He's kept the goal as God and he's doing all action for God. That buddhi Bhagwan is calling as Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Eka iha, because his goal is one. Remember, his goal is one. I'm going to explain that when I take the next part of it, and then I'll come back to this one and explain. Arjun, so the people who have got this Karma Yoga, iha, in this Karma Yoga, the people who follow this Karma Yoga, in this Karma Yoga, what kind of intellect that person has? He's got a single pointed determined intellect. He's got a single pointed focused intellect. He's got a firm resolve in terms of his goal. So that is what Bhagwan is calling as Vyavasayatmika here. And then he says, in the next line, now how is the buddhi of other people? Who are the other people now? They are, remember, Karma Yogi is also doing an action. And a person who is not doing Karma Yoga, engaged fully in action, now Bhagwan is going to pick up that person in the next line here. He says, Arjun, Avyavasayinam. Now he's talking about Avyavasayinam. Those people who are not doing Karma Yoga, who has not got a, you know, single pointed determination about their goal in life, about who they are doing action for. They do not have a single pointed focus on God as the final goal for them. They don't have a surrender towards God. Those people, how is their intellect? Bhagwan says, Ananta Bahushaka hi Anantascha. Their intellect is Anant. They have got many intellects. What do you mean by many intellects here? I'll come to that point now. He says, Arjun, these kind of people who do not have Karma Yoga Buddhi, I'm calling them Avyavasayinam, they have got many intellects. They have got many intellects, and from those many intellects sprouts out many different branches. Bahushaka. Bahushaka means many branches. Now, what do you actually mean by all these things? Now, first thing I want to explain here is, Vyavasayatmika means, Vyavasayatmika buddhi means that intellect which has got a single pointed determination, single pointed focus on one goal in life, and every action that person does is keeping that goal in mind. Now, what happens with avyavasayinam, those people who do not have a single-pointed focus? Now, you need to understand this basic thing, and I touched upon that point. What do we all need in life? And I spoke about three basic needs everyone have, and that is their common goal of everyone in life. The first thing I picked up was that everyone wants a continuity to their life. They want to protect their life so that their life becomes continuous. They don't want to end up losing their life. So Jeevan is, in Hindi we call it Jeevan. The first and foremost important thing of everyone is to protect their own life. That's the basic demand of everyone. The second thing is you know, first they will, all everybody wants to ensure that they are alive, they are able to maintain the continuity of their life. The second thing after life is that they not only need a life, they want a happy life. Everyone wants to be happy. This is the second basic need or basic demand of everyone in the life. The reason I said that in priority is that life is first, because to protect or to ensure continuity of life, sometimes people decide to forgo happiness also. They are ready to take sorrow, provided that taking up sorrow maintains the continuity of their life. So they are able to, they are ready to compromise happiness. But remember that ready to compromise happiness is only for maintaining the continuity of life or protecting the life. Sometimes they have to make a tough decision that, you know, you have to choose between happiness and life. Of course, they will choose life first, because if life is there, happiness can come later on also. So happiness still becomes compromisable to that matter of fact. And, you know, it can be compromised provided, the compromise is only for protecting the life or only for maintaining the continuity of life. So these are the two basic needs I spoke about. The third thing I spoke about was that, you know, everybody not only need life, everybody doesn't only need happiness, they also want to be free. They don't want to be bound to anyone. They don't want to be bound to anything. Now, what do you mean by, you know, being bound to anything or bound to anyone? That means that, you know, everyone wants that I should not be dependent for these two things, for my life and for my happiness, on anyone. That is the definition of freedom, which we usually call it. You know, what do you mean by that? You know, just think, you know, we call in Hindi, Swadhin and Paradhin. These are two words which comes in Sanskrit, right? And Hindi also is the same word. Swadhinta and Paradhinta. You know, just see the composition of the word. You know, freedom also, free is the word, right? Bound means you are tied up with someone. Now, Swadhin means Swadhin. I am only dependent on myself for maintaining my life continuity and for my happiness. Remember, that's the goal. But that seems very difficult in that way. But what do you mean by paradhin? Paraadhin. Para means on someone else, on something else. When I am dependent on something else, for what? For my life and for my happiness. So these three becomes the basic need of everyone across the board in this whole world. Now remember, when I use the word everyone, means I'm not only talking about, you know, humans, I'm talking about animal world and others also. Just think, an animal, if you know, staying in a jungle, always have got this intent to protect their life. Jeevan ki raksha sabka maulik moolbhoot ut lakshya hai. Matlab, that is the basic need, the basic core substratum of everybody's life. So, you know, an animal also keeps running around here and there, protecting itself from those animals which can hamper its continuity of life. That's the first thing. Animal world also, you see, they all are searching for happiness. Their happiness may be, the definition of happiness may be different. That's immaterial. The third thing is, they also are always want to be free. Now, I'm giving you an example. When you get an animal caged, you know, if somebody could go into their mind and think, you know, that kind of bondage is not such a good feeling at all, even for an animal. They may not have an intellect to decipher or anything, but they can feel, they have emotions, they feel bound. And when an animal is released from captivity into the open jungle, you must watch these channels when they show, their reaction is little ecstatic. They don't know how to react. They are first not sure, are they really free or is this kind of a new trap? So never mind, the point is that is a basic demand of everyone. Now, you know, one definition of freedom, which our Pujya Swami Subodhananji used to talk about, is that, you know, one way to define freedom, because I told you, if you ask the definition of freedom, everybody's definition of freedom may be completely different. And also one more thing I'll tell you, a jiva's actual freedom or the total freedom or the final freedom is only Swarupavasthan, once he realized the self. A jiva cannot be free forever without realizing the self. Realization is the final freedom. Why? Because then you have nothing to depend upon for anything at all once you have realized the self. Realization is the ultimate freedom. That is why realizing the self is called the ultimate truth, the final truth. Rest, everything comes, you know, they are like intermediary transactional reality or transactional truth and all. Final reality, ultimate reality is the self only. And realizing the self is the final freedom of everyone. Okay, now I'll give you the definition of you know, what you call that, at maintaining this thing, in the way Pujya Swami Subodhananji used to say it. He says, one way of looking at freedom is, I don't want any adverse situation to ever appear in my life. Unki kabhi sfurti na ho. And I want that all the favorable situations in my life or favorable things in my life or favorable people in my life should come automatically to me without my effort at all. Because if I do effort, the moment I stop effort, I may end up losing them. So the one way of looking at freedom is that a man wants that non-favorable situation or unfavorable situation, unfavorable people, unfavorable things should never ever illumine in my life, should never appear in my life. And the favorable ones should come automatically to me without much effort of mine, and they should remain in my life forever. This is the way, you know, he used to say, this is how actual freedom can also be defined as. But does that really happen? No, never. It's not possible. It is probably seen that the unfavorable situation keep coming, and we have to make too much effort to suppress them, control them, eliminate them, or to, you know, completely bypass them, overrule them, control them, and all those things we have to continuously make an effort. And good things, we have to work very hard for it to come in life. So once it comes in life, retaining that thing is another hard work. You know, this is how the normal life if we look at. So he says is that, you know, the way to look at happiness is this way. Now what happens, the reason I picked up this example is, I want to explain you what this avyavasayinam people, which Bhagwan is pointing out, how their buddhi functions into many, many facets in totality. Now, see what happens, how the buddhi becomes many, anant. Those people who do not have a single pointed determination in life, who do not have a focus of God in life, who are doing action for themselves. Now, listen to this from the childhood time. How their buddhi works. Their buddhi first, their intellect first shows them, study hard if you have to make your life. Why? Because one way to ensure freedom is, how do you become free? Is that, you know, you become capable. Only with capability, only you can manage everything on your own without being dependent on someone. So the first thing, the first way buddhi starts in childhood is that, study well, you have to be successful in life. So they start getting into stream of their choice to study. They work hard, they pass competition, they give competition exam, come into ranks, and then clear those exams, do the study, they work hard, and then that buddhi, the one buddhi is formed, is study hard to, so that you can grow into a career. So once the study is over, has the goal been met? No. they understand that, you know, studying is not enough. Now I have to get into a job. So then that buddhi, he finds out that, you know, my goal is not met yet. So, you know, that buddhi is not the final conclusion. Now, after this one, another intellect is made. So first intellect which was made was what? Out of, you know, studying, working hard and, you know, doing well in your competition exam and everything and, you know, securing rank and everything. But is that enough? No. Now, once they pass out of the college and exams, and then the next intellect is made is that, now look for a good job. I have to find a good job now. And then they have to search for a job. One buddhi is made there. But, you know, once they get into the job, have they met the goal? No, the goal is still not met. They feel that, no, this was not what I looked for, you know. This is not what I achieved. Then buddhi gives what? The intellect gives another advice. No. It was not this much I said. Now do one thing. Get this job. Now grow and look for another job which will, you know, get into a position. Now struggle for positions within the job. Promotion or positions, whatever you call it. Reach this level. You know, every promotion you get, then another buddhi is made. No, this was not enough. Now I think you have to work hard to get this. So, you know, then and in between another thought comes, I don't feel I'm complete, you know. I should settle in life. I should expand myself and settle into a family. Then you start expanding into another buddhi is made. But settling into the family or, you know, marrying someone and, you know, getting into a married life. Have you reached the goal? No, still I haven't reached the goal. So then, and the buddhi says, no, this was not enough, you know. Every time it says that, you know, once you reach that work, once that work is accomplished or the action is done, and buddhi feels or the intellect feels that this was not enough. Something else is required. This how, from one intellect to another intellect, another intellect to another intellect, another intellect to another intellect, and within them also there are many, many branches which sprout out. I give you an example. You know, get into an education. First branch is, you know, complete your elementary education well. You know, pass your 11th and 12th exam well, so that you can clear competitive exam. Then another branch sprouts out, preparation for competition exams. Then another branch sprouts out, get into a good college, interview and all those things. Then another branch sprouts out that, you know, in this college also I have to secure rank, I have to do this, I have to do that or whatever. So you see, from one intellect, many, many branches start sprouting out. In the job also, I told you, once you get into the job, no, this position is not enough. I need to, you know, work hard, get into another position. Reaching there, you feel, no, this was not required, I think. I think I should have gotten to here. So this is how, you know, one from one intellect, first that intellect becomes many, from many intellects, that entire thing becomes sprouts out into many different branches. And what happens? The focus of this person is gone. Why? Because it's split into many different directions. And when your focus and attention is diverted into many different directions, how do you think you can perform at your best? It's not possible. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, Bahu shaka hi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. For an avyavasayi person, for a person who's not focused in karma yoga, who's not doing karma yoga, who is just focused on action, this is the state of that man. His energy gets dissipated into different directions, and there is no single pointed focus at all. So neither he reaches the goal, and his whole life is spent in firefighting and managing these different intellects at different point in time, and their ups and downs of these different intellects, and his life is gone completely, and he has not moved an inch towards his final goal. Forget about moving an inch towards the final goal. Many a times, the whole life is wasted in these things, and he is not even able to establish his basic faith on that ultimate goal. He is not even able to establish a minimal connect with God in his life. And why I am using this word minimal connect? Because human life is a very precious life. Only in this life you can grow vertically. Horizontal growth is that Bahu Shakha Bhagwan is talking about. You may grow whatever, without you, you know, in the whole time you spend upon your horizontal growth, your entire energy is gone there. And remember, what did you achieve at the end of the life? If you feel that, you know, this was not enough, because in the horizontal achievement, no achievement can actually satisfy someone. Why? Because that's not the ultimate goal of any jiva at all. I'll give you one example here also. Oh, and this example I used to give it to youths before. This story belongs, you know, happened when with Swami Vivekananji. Swami Vivekananji was traveling to Chicago for the World Parliament of Religion to give his speech. He was on the boat, he was on the ship to US. While he was on the ship, there was a student who was going to America, to US, to study medicine. He was watching Swamiji from a distance for a long period of time. And Swamiji was in ochre robes, and you know, he was standing there gloriously happy, and you know, was there. So this child was going to study in US. He came up to Swamiji and said, in a very derogatory manner, he said, "Swamiji, you have such a, you know, healthy body, fit body. Aren't you ashamed of yourself?" So Swamiji said, "Why? What happened? What did I do?" So he said, "You are going to US to beg. You have such a fit body. Why can't you work?" Swamiji kept quiet. Swamiji understood he's you know, talking from a very low level of knowledge. Swamiji kept quiet, and he knew that, you know, at this time responding will be like reacting. So Swamiji stood there for some time without reaction. The man kept on blabbering for some time, and he went and stood at the other side of the deck. So once that man, that child was quiet, yet, and he was you know, standing quietly over there looking at this ocean, Swamiji went to him and said, "You asked me a question. Can I ask you a question?" So he said, "Yes, Swamiji, ask me." So he said, "You know, whatever you may have said that I'm going to US for, that's immaterial. Let's leave that aside for right now. But tell me, why are you going to US?" So he said, "Swamiji, I'm going to US to study medicine." Very proudly, that kid said, "I'm going to study medicine." So Swamiji said, "What will you do after that, after studying medicine?" So he said, "Swamiji, you know, I will actually probably, after studying in medicine, I'll do probably masters in medicine." Swamiji said, "Okay, then what will you do after that?" So he said, "Swamiji, what after that? Then I'll probably join a hospital there and then probably work. Then what will you do after that?" "Swamiji, I'll try to become a good surgeon, or whatever I become in the medicine field, I'll try to excel in that field. What will you do after that?" He said, "Swamiji, then what is there to do? Then I'll probably look for a girl, maybe probably working there only, so that we can be a companion, and then I'll probably marry." Swamiji said, "What will you do after that?" "Swamiji, what is there? Then, you know, my work will be going on." I'm explaining you Bahushaka here. So what will happen and after that? So Swamiji, then probably, you know, once in the family, then probably we'll have kids. Then Swamiji continued that question, "What will you do after that?" And he said, "Swamiji, then we'll, you know, help grow our kids and, you know, put effort on that. Then what will you do after that? We'll settle our kids. What will you do after that?" "Swamiji, by that time we'll be grown old. Once the kids are settled, then what will you do after that?" Swamiji continued that question. Then this man got a little irritated. This kid got a little irritated, and he said, "Swamiji, what will you do? We have already grown old. No, what will you do after that?" "Swamiji, then what is there to do after that? I'll, you know, probably I've grown old, so I'll die." Swamiji paused there and said, "If your end goal is to die, why you have to work hard so much, go to US, study medicine, do masters, settle in a life, grow kids? You just jump from this deck, your goal is achieved. Just jump into the ocean, your goal is achieved. If your final goal is to achieve death, then why you have to work so hard? Just jump from this deck, your goal is achieved. You will work so hard for this goal. Now listen to me, my kid. I am not going to America to beg. I am going to teach those Englishmen how to grow about death." Now this is the state of Bahushaka. You see, whatever work you do, if your final goal is not single-pointed, you will end up dissipating, you will end up wasting your energy into multiple directions and reaching nowhere at the end of it. Many a times I told you what happens is, forget about reaching the goal. We forget about, you know, of the ultimate goal of, you know, vertical growth of spiritual evolution. Many a times we go completely opposite direction to that by doing all these things. We go completely averse to God. And there are many such cases which we see in life that by doing all these things, many become atheist only. Just imagine, the human life was given to achieve goal, to realize goal. And what happened at the end of it? You became completely averse to God. You went to the completely other direction. Now what will happen? You may have become an atheist, doesn't matter. But you may have to come back many lives later. You'll have to come back the same path. Then why can't you work hard here? Bhagwan is saying this same thing. Arjun, the person who's got avyavasayi naam, whose focus is karma, his karma will become that there will be many action. Every action, there a new intellect is formed. And from every action-related intellect, many branches sprout out. After that, a new intellect is formed. After that, a new intellect is formed. In this way, his whole life gets wasted in managing those intellects and managing those branches sprouting out of that intellects. His life is gone. What will he achieve? He is gone completely averse of his journey of whole thing. Arjun, now what happens with the Vyavasaya Atmika? Why I stopped there? I have to explain you this first so that as a comparison I can explain that. For a Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhi, the person who has got a single pointed determination, how he works, now look at this. In his case also, it's not that actions are not many, actions will be many. But his focus is one. What is his focus? Which I've already explained to you in the 39th and 40th verse also, and in the previous verses also. Oh, his focus is very clear. Whatever situation has come in my life, it's God sent. Karma Yoga I'm talking about. Huh? Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is Karma Yoga Buddhi here. It's a firm resolve that, you know, whatever situation has come in my life is God sent, and I am what? I am only a humble servant at the feet of Lord. And all my actions are what? Are all my actions are only to make my God happy with my work. That's it. That's the single pointed. Now he may have many, many actions. He may have multiple actions. Actions will always be many because life is like that. But his focus is one. Because he is single pointed focus. Now just take the same example. When if from childhood it is developed, doesn't matter even if in childhood it is not developed also, after childhood also it is developed, he has completed his studies, till that he may have many intellects, doesn't matter. But once he gets into the job, even if at that point in time this intellect is developed, that I am a humble servant of God and I am working for only the happiness of God, my focus and goal is only him, his happiness. Ishwar Preeti ke liye kaam karta hoon, main Bhagwan ki Preeti ke liye kaam karta hoon. Bhagwan mere se khush ho, he should be happy with me. Whether what I get is immaterial to me. Remember, the moment I look for God's happiness in my action, I have already detached myself from the fruit of the action. It will not matter to me what fruit comes, whether favorable, whether unfavorable, it will never matter to me. Why? Because my single pointed focus is on God. As far as God is happy with my work, results don't make a difference. Result don't matter. Now I want to tell you one more thing. Just think for a moment. If God is happy with your action, do you think results, favorable results won't come? It's not possible. Rather, God will give his grace result also to you. I'm going to come in the further chapters where Bhagwan is going to pick up this topic in very big elaboration. You will see what God, you know, placing God in your life does. Remember one thing, I have said it in many forums. As a jiva, as an individual soul, we cannot be free. We cannot lead a successful, happy life without God's grace. It's not possible. Without the help of God, we cannot make our life completely protected and satisfied एंड हैप्पी, इट्स नॉट पॉसिबल. जीव जीव जो है बिना आश्रय के रह ही नहीं सकता. जीव जीव एन इंडिविजुअल सोल कैनॉट सर्वाइव विदाउट आउट द ग्रेस ऑफ गॉड. ग्रेस ऑफ गॉड इज द फैक्टर फॉर द कंटिन्यूस सर्वाइवल, प्रोटेक्शन एंड यू नो अ सक्सेसफुल एंड अ सिंगल पॉइंटेड लाइफ. एंड रिमेंबर, अल्टीमेट गोल इज वेरी सिंपल. अल्टीमेट गोल इज टू अचीव एंड रियलाइज गॉड. वंस यू रीच देयर, देयर इज नो कम बैक एट ऑल. सो भगवान सेज अर्जुन, दिस इज हाउ यू हैव टू थिंक अबाउट द होल ओल प्रोसेस ऑफ कर्म योगा. एंड देन आई एम गोइंग टू रीड वॉट भगवान शंकराचार्य जी टॉक्स इन इज भाष्य. ही सेज व्यवसायात्मिका निश्चय स्वभाव एका एव बुद्धि ही. हिज वॉट निश्चय स्वभाव विद अ फर्म रिजॉल्व विद अ सिंगल पॉइंटेड डिटर्मिनेशन. इतर विपरीत बुद्धि शाखा भेदस्य बाधिका सम्यक प्रमाण जनितत्वाद इह श्रेयो मार्गे हे कुरुनंदन. अर्जुन, दिस काइंड ऑफ ए बुद्धि, दिस काइंड ऑफ एन इंटेलेक्ट इज वॉट इज सिंगल पॉइंटेड. सिंगल पॉइंटेड मीन्स वॉट? That, you know, this kind of a buddhi is always against or always anti to that kind of an intellect which has got many, many different branches sprouting out from them, which splits itself into many, which divides the intellect into many. It's always against that. And what? It is samyak pramana janitatvad. And it is coming out of our scriptures. Pramana means scriptures here. And it is very well explained as per our scripture. And Bhagwan is talking about that here. या पुनः इतरा बुद्धयो यासाम शाखा भेद प्रचारवशाद अनंतः अपारः अनुपरतः संसारो नित्य प्रततो विस्तीर्णो भवति. हे अर्जुन, दीज द अदर काइंड ऑफ बुद्धिज, द वन हु आर नॉट व्यवसायत्मिक और अव्यवसायत्मिका बुद्धि, हाउ आर दे हैव गॉट दिस डिफरेंस ऑफ मेनी मेनी ब्रांचेस स्प्राउटिंग आउट ऑफ देम एंड देयर वर्ल्ड ऑल्सो बिकम्स मेनी बिकॉज एवरी इंटेलेक्ट is a world in itself. You just think, many times when you are working and you know your intellect, you know, goes into thinking about some problem at home, just think for a while, and you know, some colleague comes and remind you, hey, listen, where are you? Are you not here? What happened? You have gone into the other buddhi, other intellect, because at that time the worry weighs more. Anyway, so he says here, Arjun, and it will always, this kind of a buddhi which is not vyavasayatmika or avyavasayatmika, it will always keep expanding into many. I'll give you one example which Pujya Swami Subodhananji used to say. It's like mrig marichika. It's called desert mirage. Mrig marichika, you already heard it from me also. Desert mirage. Why I'm giving you that example? That buddhi is like this. And mrig means hiran also. Hiran means deer also. And mrig means animal also. An animal stuck in a desert is searching for water, and it sees water or a mirage at a distance and mistakes it for a water. It keeps running there. Once it reaches there, it realizes it is not water at all. But when it raises its head, it can see the same mirage somewhere else. It runs there and finds that is also not water. He realizes that it is not water. But these appearances of mirage also doesn't stop. It keeps appearing. That's the same thing which happens with avyavasayatmika buddhi. The person doesn't reach the goal. But every time buddhi gives, okay, no, you may have changed, tweaked this action into this much, probably you will reach the goal. And every time buddhi will see, or intellect will see, he like a mirage, oh, if I do this, I'll probably reach the goal. Once you reach there, you realize it was only a mirage. No, it is not there. But still then buddhi, the intellect starts showing a different route altogether. In this way, the man keeps toggling between one to another, one to another, one to another, without reaching the goal at all, at any places. And it's a mirage, and the mirage also doesn't stop appearing. It always starts seeing. That is why it keeps splitting into many, 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 many intellects, as you know, afterwards. And he says, प्रमाण जनित विवेक बुद्धि निमित्तवशात् च उपरतासु अनंत भेद बुद्धिषु संसारः अपि उपरमते. ही सेज विद दिस इज इंटेलेक्ट विच इज बॉर्न आउट ऑफ प्रमाण. प्रमाण मीन्स प्रूफ हियर, विच इज वेदांता एंड यू नो अवर प्रमाण. विद अ इंटेलेक्ट विच इज बॉर्न आउट ऑफ दिस नॉलेज गिवन बाय दिस प्रमाण, बाय दिस शास्त्र, बाय दिस सनातन धर्म शास्त्र. And you know, these kind of intellect, which you know splits into many, it ceases to appear or exist. They became completely, it becomes an end to those kind of intellect. The moment this kind of an intellect of Vyavasayatmika Buddhi or Karma Yoga Buddhi arises, I give you the example. Forget about that, even if you have not understood Karma Yoga in school days, even if you understand Karma Yoga during work, or even if you understand Karma Yoga a little later also, the moment you understand all those things which were giving rise to your world, to many, many intellects, they stop existing completely. Ta buddhayo bahu shaka, bahvaya shaka, yasam ta bahu shaka, bahu bheda iti etat. And that's why, because for the avyavasai, for those people who do not have that intellect of karma yoga, and because they are completely, you know, what you call that, devoid of the praman janit knowledge, the knowledge arisen out of the proof of Vedanta, their intellect becomes pratishakha bhedenahi anantacha buddhayah kesham avyavasayinam pramana janita viveka buddhi rahitanam iti arthah. Their intellect becomes into their intellect, becomes many, and from those many, many, many branches sprout out, and that's how their whole life is gone in just managing that intellect. Now we'll read the 42nd verse. As Bhagwan says, 42nd shloka. Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschitah vedavadarathaf partha nanyadastiti vadinah. Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschitah vedavadarathaf partha nanyadastiti vadinah. Now, Bhagwan is now, you know, bringing up a description. Now, remember, he is doing ninda of avyavasayi buddhi only for the purpose of praising the vyavasayatmika buddhi. So, insulting, or he is putting down, he is giving derogatory remarks for normal action. Remember, Bhagwan is not averse of action, but Bhagwan is saying, Bhagwan is always a big proponent of Karma Yoga. Do action in the attitude of Karma Yoga. Definitely all of us have to do action. But he is saying that, you know, Arjun, don't merely just do action for yourself, for the sake of just doing the action. Do action in the attitude of Karma Yoga, apart from those three shortcomings being spoken about. Apart from the three shortcomings which were spoken about in verse 40, this is becoming, that intellect becoming into many, and you know, getting into different branches, and your entire energy and focus getting dissipated also gets avoided. So Bhagwan is now here saying, he is now picking up the example of those people who are very big proponents of karma. Somebody went to Swamiji and said, Swamiji, work is worship. What do you have to say about it? Swamiji said, I have read it written behind a truck. Now you can decide, you want to follow them or you want to follow the scriptures the way it says. Please remember, work is worship, then how will you define those people who are doing robbery, those people who are doing terrorism, those people who are doing all these kind of negative things, and they are working hard for that? Will you say that's worship? No. Work in itself is not worship. Work has to be made into worship. And how do you make work into worship? That is through Karma Yoga. That is exactly what Bhagwan is saying here. So please remember, work has to be converted into worship. Work has to become a means for worship. That's what Bhagwan is saying here. Every work doesn't become worship in itself. Now, give one example which Pujya Swamiji used to give. You know, if somebody has created a temple in their shop, very good. They have got a temple in their shop. They offer their puja inside the shop. They once do the puja, then they get into their work in the shop or in the business or whichever way you call it. Now, just see the other side of it. Somebody has made temple their shop. Then, this man who has made a temple inside the shop, when he wants to develop faith, when he wants to spend some time devoted to God, he has a place called temple to go and visit. Definitely it will help him grow in the faith also. It will help him, you know, seek the grace and blessings of God also. But that person who has made temple only a shop, then where will he go for worship? Where will he go for faith? He has blocked all the doors. So remember, work has to be converted into worship. And that is what Karma Yoga is all about. Bhagwan is going to pick this up very clearly. Why Karma Yoga? Bhagwan has already said in the 39th shloka, and Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji also brought it up, which I am bringing it up again here. Yoge tu tat prapti upaye. Karma Yoga is what? Karma Yoga is actually a tool. Karma Yoga is actually a path. For what? For preparing your intellect or make your intellect capable to receive the knowledge of Sankhya. How? Nisangataya dvandva prahana purvakam ishwara aradhana arthe karma yoga. He's saying how it will do. It will detach you from all the kind of things here. Nisangataya. It will stop you from getting attached to anything here. Your attachment will become what? God. Once you attach to God, remember, if you attach to God, many people ask me this question, Swamiji, what will happen if I get attached to God? Will I, you know, lose my job? Will I lose my work? Will I lose my family? Do I have to, you know, leave my family and go? Who says that? When you get attached to God, remember, the moment you start having God in your picture, you will start at, you know, fulfilling your other roles beautifully, because God is the ultimate goal. He is very high and He will bless you. He will guide you. So here He says, Nisangataya dvandva prahana purvakam. And by removing you from all the kind of attachments, or detaching you from that, dvandva prahana purvakam. And also, eliminating the effect of dvandva, the pair of opposites, which what? Sukha dukha, labha labhau, jaya jayau. We should not forget what we have already, you know, studied in Gita Ji, which was in 38th verse, which Bhagwan said. Same kritva, He spoke about there, no? So He says here, dvandva prahana purvakam, ishwara aradhana arthe. And the goal is what? All my work is what? As a worship to Bhagwan. Karma yoga, karma anushthane, samadhi yoga cha imam anantaram eva uchyamanam buddhim shrunu. And I'm teaching you that buddhi only here. So Bhagwan says, Arjun, there are these people who are proponents of karma, and they say, forget about everything, you just concentrate on karma. And I'm telling you, I have met many such people, even while giving talks also. They say, you know, they used to talk to me before that. They said, you know, you are saying all these things, and now I say, don't go to temple, don't worship God, just focus on doing your action. And Bhagwan is calling what here? Those kind of people, they avipaschitaha. Bhagwan says, they are people with very low level of understanding. And I will translate the way He said. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji also says, avipaschitaha is translated as fools. They are fools. And how do they talk? They have no understanding about the life. They have no knowledge of the karma. They have no knowledge about how to grow in the life at all. And they will talk things like yam imam pushpitam vacham. They will talk flowery statements. They will make up statements which will look beautiful to you. They will say that, you know, I would say it's fine. You don't need to worry about God. You don't need to worship God. Just focus on your action and it will automatically take you to God. It will and take you where? It will, you say that don't need to worship God and it will take you to God. No, don't worry. God is not going to give you anything special. You do your action and your action is going to give you lot of success and result and, you know, comfort and luxury and this, that and all those things. And how are they people when they talk? Veda Vadarataha. They will quote verses from Veda only and tell you, see, Veda also it is written. This is what is written in Veda also, that just focus on action. Just do your action well. Do spend good time and doing your action. What happens usually in action is also this. You know, action has got one more problem which we need to understand. You know, if we end up doing good, there is one more danger which happens. The danger is, there is a very, very high probability that my ego may go up. My ego may go up. Why? Oh, I am, you know, such good. I am so good that there is no competition to me. I've always been a winner of, you know, best employee and best and this and all those things. I've got many awards, you know, I'm so and so award winner, so and so this. It will keep increasing your ego. And what is the danger with increasing your ego? You will not accept knowledge from anyone. I've already spoken about the problem of ego in the, you know, previous lectures also. There's one when you become perfectionist and you are too perfect. I will use the word too perfect purposefully. Oh, you know, the moment I do something, I need to just touch the work, you know. It will be definitely beautiful. There is no possibility that, you know, work will be mediocre. And mediocre work, I'm not satisfied only. I'm just perfect in doing my work. What happens then? You know, if you are perfect, then slowly, gradually, the moment you start feeling aham vishishtaha, you will start finding fault in others. That's another problem with the ego. I've seen many people say, what? You don't even know how to sit? You don't even know how to talk? This is how you talk? You know, which means what? I know how to do all these things, and you know nothing. So you will automatically get into the habit of putting down someone. And then I told you, such people, when they go for satsang, they will be looking at the guru like this and then saying, you know, let me see what he has to say. Many tried to teach me. I already know everything. And many people say that also. Or, you know, I know all these things. You don't need to teach me. I know all these things. What did he speak? Anything new? He spoke everything. Then if you know all these things, why did you come here? I didn't call you also. No, that's not the point. You know, I was just wanting to see, you know, am I missing out on something? But I think I already know all these things. Why? Because you shut your door or for knowledge. Nobody can teach you. Good luck to you in next life is what they say. So he says here, Yami Mam, Bhagwan says, Bhagwan is bringing out, you know, pointing out here, these people who just do karma and they propagate karma and they tell everyone that, you know, oh, just do karma, don't focus on anything else. God and other thing is not important. Even just focus on karma, do it well, you will get result for sure. Maybe they may get comfort and luxury in life, but you know, they will not be able to tell you that, is that the final goal of your life? No. They says, Veda Vadarat, He Partha, they will quote shlokas of Veda. He Partha means, he Prithaya Putra, Arjuna, He Partha. They will say, they will quote the, you know, shlokas and verses of Veda only. They will quote scriptures freely, left, right and center. I have seen this, you know, many people misquoting in even Bhagavad Gita also at many places. I am giving you one example. Bhagwan is going to talk about the shloka. I will take it up there also. There is this verse called Karmanye Vadikaraste Ma Faleshu Kadachana. Many people have translated the shloka as that, you know, Bhagwan says, just concentrate on karma, do your karma and forget about result. Where is the word forget there? Forget word is not even mentioned in that shloka. So, you know, you just don't freely translate without knowing the deeper meaning. Bhagwan is not, how will Bhagwan say that, you know, without looking at the result, you just do the action? Without keeping the result in mind, you can't even do an action. Bhagwan is saying something different over there. I'm not explaining it here. Picked it up, I'll just say. Bhagwan uses the word here, karmani eva adhikaraste. You are right, and what is within your control, within your limit of capability, within your action limit, within your boundary is your action, because that you can do well, you can do mediocre, you can do worse. But once you have done the action, you can't change at the level of result. Karmani eva adhikaraste. Your right is to do only in the action. You can do it correctly, you can do it wrong, you can do worse. You have right because you can make changes in the action. But once you have done it, can you make changes in the result? No. Ma faleshu adhikaraste. In the fruit, once the action is done, fruit of action at the level of fruit can't be changed. That is what Bhagavan means anyway. When I come to that shloka, because it's few shlokas down only, I'll explain it elaborately there. So, you know, they will quote shloka, they will misquote shloka, they will, you know, pick, do what, patchwork, pick up some things from here, some things from there, and then, you know, put it there. And then it explains, you know, this is what is said there. When you read shloka, read the whole shloka and understand the meaning first. Because you can't, you know, take one portion of it by your choice and put it and, you know, paste it somewhere else. It's not a copy paste job. It's a scripture. It's explaining some things in an entirety. You cannot look at a copy paste job and think, I'll, you know, cut this portion. And, you know, it's not a computer work that, you know, cut this portion from here and paste it there. It doesn't work like that. You have to understand the shloka in an entirety. Anyway, Bhagavan says these people who are karmavadinaha, who are karmavadi people, who what propagate karma, who are big proponents of karma and their only focus is karma, they will do yamimam pushpitam vacham. They will talk all flowery things. They will show you flowery goals, flowery end results. They will, you know, they will hallucinate your mind in such a way that you are doing this, you will get this. Just focus on your action. And they will use Vedas point only to explain. And they say what? Na anyad asti iti vadinaha. And they will debate and they will get into argument with you that, you know, I firmly say apart from action, nothing else is there. Nothing else will get you good results at all. Action is the final conclusive thing to give you result. Action is the final thing for you to reach. Without this, you cannot achieve the result at all. Action alone. Na anyadasti, action alone is going to lead you to what you want in life, nothing else. Now, when we talk about this result, I'm going to take it in the next class over there. These people, when they explain, one point I want to just bring it here before, or, you know, I conclude the class for today. The thing is that, you know, when you ask them, what is your final goal? Their final goal will be, you know, here in this world, and they will have the goal of, you know, all the kind of luxuries of life and, you know, position, luxury and all those things here. Okay, now what happens after this life? After this life, they have only two conclusive statements there. You know what? Swarga, you know, swarga and what you call naraka. Heaven or hell, or, you know, you can call it in another language, Jannat or Jahannum. They can't see anything beyond that. Anyway, we'll take it up in the next class further. Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhya atmanava prakrite svabhavat karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami shriman narayanayeti samarpayami. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shantihi Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om Om Tat Sat.